Hi, Caleb. Thanks for hopping on the phone with us today here at Interlochen Public Radio.
Hi, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
The concert this weekend at Great Lakes Center for the Arts was rescheduled from the spring. How was it for you when everything just came screeching to a halt because of the coronavirus?
You know what? It has been challenging for, I think, all artists, all performing artists especially. But this, we probably have more energy in anticipation for this concert than any concert since I've been in the group. And, you know, it's I think it's going to be a pretty special occasion. We're crossing our fingers that it's going to actually happen. I'm sure it will. But we can't wait. And we haven't seen each other in person. I mean, we've had tons of meetings and talking about the future and projects. And we've done quite a bit of remote projects together and still writing music and arranging new music and doing some a lot of learning in terms of audio production and cameras. And we're taking this time to really learn so that once we get together, we can offer new perspectives within our group on how to proceed in this post quarantine time.
So this weekend's concert is the first you folks have gotten together.
Yeah.
Since everything shut down.
This will be the first time that we'll see each other in person since March.
I'm curious about the safety protocols that you're using. I mean, especially now you're headed back out. You all live different places. You're coming together. I was wondering if you were going to do isolation pods like the NBA, or are you only going to play antiphonal music, or how are you going to do that?
We'll be rolling on stage in our own bubbles, actually, so it'll be completely safe.
Oh, great. Just like in Wicked.
Yeah, exactly. No, we're taking it pretty seriously, and we're getting together to rehearse a couple of days ahead of time, actually. So, yeah, we'll follow all the guidelines and do all the protocols. And, yeah, it's tricky because several of us live in the States. I live here in Texas, and Chuck is driving from Toronto. So even if we wanted to get together over the summer, the border restrictions would not have allowed us to.
Now, are you doing the thing where it looks like to me that you cover the horn with pantyhose?
The pantyhose.
I'm sure that's the technical term for it.
You know, we are open to any suggestions, but as of now, I think we might be going sins a hose.
Okay. And I suppose this is a spoiler alert for the folks who haven't seen Canadian Brass in concert before, but more often than not, usually at least during one piece, somebody, I think usually Chuck, goes out and kind of hides in the audience. So I'm going to take a guess that kind of thing is on hold for the moment.
Right. Yeah. You're going to have to suffer through a completely onstage performance. Yeah. Usually there's quite a bit of interaction, but we promise we'll make up for it with, we'll bridge that physical gap with some really good jokes.
And Caleb Hudson, you spent 2 years of high school at Interlochen Arts Academy. How do you feel about coming back to Northern Michigan for a few days?
Anyone who really goes to Interlochen, even for a summer, will tell you that it becomes a part of them, and it really becomes a second home. So anytime I'm coming back to the area, it's a very special occasion. I met my wife at Interlochen Arts Academy, and she actually was there for 3 years, a trombone player. So yeah, we had the opportunity to go back together a few summers ago, and I was actually one of the guest artists at the trumpet seminar. And that was really, really special.
Now, you're on the faculty at the University of North Texas right now, in addition to being a member of Canadian Brass. I'm going to take a wild guess that a lot of your students want to know how they, too, can be members of Canadian Brass when they grow up. So I'm curious, what do you say to students, or how do you advise students who want to end up in that kind of group?
That's a great question. Yeah, so growing up, I think it's part of every young brass players' path that listening to Canadian Brass just becomes part of the brass heritage. And that was definitely the case for me. Starting at an early age, I just kind of had a fire for all things trumpet. And I didn't really limit myself to any particular path moving forward. I knew I wanted to play for a living, and I wanted to make music with other like-minded people. that's why Interlaken was so great, because that was really the first experience where I was in a community of like-minded, passionate artists. Yeah, I would just say, for, I guess, advice for any up-and-coming artists, I would say the most important thing is to cultivate and nurture that kind of creative spark and creative fire. And you never know what that's going to lead to, what kind of paths will open up because of that. But as long as you're doing that, and you do it in different ways, I think, obviously listening to music, and just like providing yourself with opportunities of inspiration is so important, because you start to develop a mature musical intuition that way. But you also have to do that in the context of surrounding yourself with like-minded players who really open you up to new perspectives, and also kind of hold you accountable for the kind of artist that you can potentially be and blossom into being. Once again, I keep coming back to Interlaken because that was such an important part of why I was there. You know, as musicians, I think we can be very myopic and maybe sometimes selfish and go into the practice room and just focus on refining our craft. But to put that in the context of sharing an experience with others, that's when real growth happens. Sharing with others in terms of your colleagues, but also your audience.
Well, you and several of your colleagues in Canadian Brass also do a lot of arranging and composing for the group. Is that something that you were interested in before you joined the ensemble, or is that something that you sort of cultivated during your membership?
Yeah, so composing and arranging, that was kind of something that blossomed during my time at Juilliard. I was a member of a brass quintet while I was in school for all 6 years, undergrad and graduate studies. To be able to see my own creation or arrangement kind of come to life in an ensemble where everyone was really eager to give it a shot. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't work, especially the early arrangements or compositions didn't really pan out very well. But I learned from it, and the whole process was just really, really gratifying, because you got to see, you know, a creation or a reimagining of a piece kind of come to life in a different context. So that's been something that's been a really core part of the creative identity of the Canadian Brass, you know, going back to the original founders. Ron Rahm, Fred Mills, the two trumpet players, did extensive arranging and composing. They also had some pretty steady outside arrangers and composers. Luther Henderson was one of the most, if not the most important arranger in terms of the relationship with an arranger that the group had. Now, Brandon Reinauer, the other trumpet player in Canadian Brass, is really a genius master at arranging and composing. And every time we read through a piece that he's written or arranged, it's kind of like a masterclass. So I get to learn from that process as well. So that's really, really cool.
All right. Here's an important question. When one auditions for Canadian Brass, does one have to wear white tennis shoes for that audition to see how they look?
Yeah, you know, but they provide it. So you just show up, and I showed up barefoot and they provided me with the shoes. It was fine.
And am I correct that the white tennis shoes have been part of the Canadian Brass image since the very beginning?
Yeah, since 1970. Chuck tells the story the best, but it started with part of the concert. The closer of the concert was actually a ballet, and the group started performing the ballet in actually Capizio ballet slippers. And everyone just assumed that they were wearing tennis shoes. So they're like, why don't we just wear tennis shoes? They're way more comfortable. And we don't have to pack our suitcases as full. So that's how that originated.
Well, Caleb Hudson, we look forward to seeing and hearing you and your colleagues from Canadian Brass and your white tennis shoes here in Northern Michigan this weekend at the Great Lakes Center for the Arts. Thanks so much for hopping on the phone with us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. We can't wait to come to Michigan.